We're studying Bala Sulam's article, Body and Soul. You can find it on our study materials and the website. Body and Soul, Rav, please.
A short article, clearly not a complete article. Bala Sulam did not prep it for printing. But at least we can read some of it, we can receive something from it for the time being. Later it will become more clarified.
Body and Soul by Bala Sulam. Before I clarify this exalted matter, it is important for me to note that although all the readers seem to consider it impossible to clarify and bring such a matter closer to the human mind, except by relying on abstract philosophical concepts, as usually in the case with such scrutinies, since the day I've discovered the wisdom of Kabbalah and dedicated myself to it, I've distanced myself from abstract philosophy and all its branches as the East from the West. Everything that I will write henceforth will be from purely scientific perspective and utter precision and by means of simple recognition of practical, useful things. Although I will mention their words below, it will be only to indicate the difference between what the human mind can conjure up and what can be understood using the concepts of the Torah and the prophecy, which are based on practical foundations. I would like to hereby thoroughly clarify the terms body and soul as they are truly, since truth and common sense are one and the same, since the truth is available for everyone. For anyone, but only according to the spirit of the Torah, and by removing all distorted concepts that have taken root among people. These are primarily taken from abstract methods from which the spirit of our Torah is utterly removed.
Meaning he's trying to convey to us a few concepts regarding body and soul and explain it somehow so we would not make any mistakes since we have certainly surrounded by sources made by people who don't understand it.
There are three methods in the concepts of body and soul. In general, we find that the methods that abound in the world concerning the concepts of body and soul are gathered into three methods. One, the method of faith. The method of faith argues that all that exists is the spirit or the soul. They believe that there are spiritual objects separated from one another by quality. They are called souls of people. And they exist independently prior to dressing in a human body. Afterward, when the body dies, the death does not apply to it, since a spiritual object is a simple object. In their view, death is but a separation of elements comprising the object. This is possible with physical objects comprised of several elements which death disintegrates. But the spiritual soul, which is an utterly simple object, lacking any complexity, cannot be separated in any way, as this separation would annul its existence. Hence, the soul is eternal and exists forever. The body, as they understand it, is like clothing over this spiritual object. The spiritual soul clothes in it and uses it to manifest its forces, the good qualities and all kinds of concepts. Also, it provides the body with life and motion and guards it from harm. Thus, the body itself is lifeless, motionless, and contains nothing but dead matter, as we see once the soul departs it when it dies. And all signs of life we see in human bodies are but manifestations of power of the powers of the soul.
Questions? Meaning here it doesn't convey anything new, but a certain view that there is a soul, and when it's in the body, it enlivens the body. We say that the body is alive, and we see all kinds of actions in the body, and these actions are invoked by the soul. And when it leaves the body dies, it's just a piece of flesh that is lifeless. PT4.
Maybe he answers it later on, but what's the difference between this method and what the wisdom of Kabbalah says?
I don't know. You heard what we just read. Did it say anything about what you're asking?
So I ask in a different way. I'm trying to understand what principle Bala Sulam wants to emphasize here.
I don't know. I don't know yet. He just started to explain to us that this is called the method of faith. There's a soul, there's a body. The soul clothes in the body, and by that it enlivens the body and determines all of its actions. And when it departs, the body remains like a piece of flesh. And we refer to it as dead. That's it. And that's how we divide things into matter and spirit. Next.
Oren, יש PT 19. בבקשה.
Oh, we have PT 19.
בוקר טוב, רב. בוקר טוב, חברים.
Good morning, Rav, friends. So he says, called souls of people, and they have a reality that exists on its own right before they clothe in the human body. What, there's life before the soul clothes in the body? That's what he's saying?
Perhaps yes. Perhaps yes. The question is, what do we define as a soul? Is it a spiritual soul or a corporeal soul, or is it a force that enlivens the body, the flesh, or it's something that gives this flesh also a higher form of life? Not on the animate degree, but on the degree of man, who resembles the Creator.
What's nice is that he writes also afterward, after the body dies, so the death doesn't work on it, meaning that there's life altogether before clothes in the body.
Yeah, the souls likely exist in the body. They can't be clothed in the body, and by this clothing, the body assumes its liveliness. And there's also a question, when is this soul clothed in the body? During birth, before the birth? Or maybe when the feminine part and the masculine part connect inside the woman's body? There are many questions here, many discussions, but All in all, it's still a question.
So that's where we came from and that's where we're going.
Oh, you're right, this is a different question. Don't drag me there. Let's go.
Two, the method of believers in duality. Those who believe in duality think that the body as a complete creation, standing, living, and nourishing and safekeeping its existence in all it required. It does not need any assistance from any spiritual object. Yet, the body is not considered man's essence. Man's primary essence is the perceiving soul, which is a spiritual object in the view of supporters of the first method.
Also stems from what, how people observed that the body lives and dies and nothing remains of it, and it rots and concludes its existence, but the spirit in man likely does not disappear, but rises to its spiritual source, perhaps, and there it exists.
But
contrary to the body, we can't say about the soul that it ends and it rots.
The difference between these two methods is only the concept of the body. Following the extensive development in physiology and psychology, they have found that providence has provided for all of life's needs within the machine of the body itself. This, in their view, restricts the role of the soul's functionality within the body solely to concepts and virtues of the spiritual kind. Thus, while they believe in duality in both methods together, they say that the soul is the reason for the body, meaning that the body is a result extending from the soul.
This too is very important to mention, because there are entire ideologies about how different kinds of souls bring to us different corporeal expressions by reading the faces, the palms, all kinds of features we identify in the corporeal body. We can talk about the forces of the inner soul that exists in that person, where seemingly the soul projects itself or copies itself corporeally into the body.
Three, the method of deniers. The method of deniers of spirituality who acknowledge only corporeality. Supporters of this method completely deny the existence of any kind of abstract spiritual object within the body. They have evidently proven that man's mind, too, is but a product of the body, and depict the body as an electronic machine with wires that stretch from the body to the brain and are operated by encounters of external things. Also, they send their sensations of pain and pleasure or pleasure to the brain, and the brain instructs the organ what to do. Everything is run by wires and cords built for this task. They move the organ away from sources of pain and towards sources of pleasure. Thus, they clarify all of man's conclusions from life's events. Also, What we feel as concepts and rationalities within our minds are but images of corporeal occurrences within the body. Man's preeminence over all animals is that our minds are developed to such an extent that all the body's events are depicted in our brains as images that we experience as concepts and rationalities. Thus, the mind and all its deductions are but products that extend from the events of the body. In addition, there are proponents of the second method who completely agree with this method, but add the spiritual external object called the soul that dresses within the machine of the body. This soul is man's essence. And the machine of the body is but its clothing.
Itafor.
Rav, and if the body is abandoned from the soul and it rots, where does he go all the work of correction, life after life? This work that accumulated. It's a consciousness that remains. Is there any trace of it?
If
you've made any actions accordingly, of course it remains. There are corporeal actions and there are spiritual actions. If you perform any spiritual actions, they remain, because the essence of a spiritual action is that it's eternal, like the Creator towards whom you are performing these acts. Spiritual actions mean that you are doing these actions towards the Creator, and then it remains in eternity because it's tied to the Creator. And corporeal actions means that you're doing it within the will to receive. Everything ends with the will to receive, and that's how it remains. Just like the will to receive itself. Meaning that it's temporary, it's finite, and it has an ending. Where are you?
I am in the summarizing paragraph. Thus, I have laid out in general terms that all human science has thus far contrived to the concepts of body and soul.
Okay, there's nothing else to do. Let's keep going. Let's see it from how it continues.
Next title, The Scientific Meaning of Body and Soul According to our Torah. Now I shall explain this exalted matter according to our Torah, as our sages have explained it to us. I've already written in several places that there is not a single word of our sages, not even in the prophetic wisdom of Kabbalah, that relies on a theoretical basis. It is a known fact that man is naturally doubtful, and each conclusion that the human mind deems certain, it deems uncertain after some time. Hence, one doubles the efforts of one study and invents another inference, and once again declares it certain.
Meaning there's no certainty in anything that we're doing. anything that we wish to develop.
But if one is a genuine student, he will walk around this axis all of one's life, since yesterday's certainty has become today's uncertainty, and today's certainty becomes tomorrow's uncertainty. Thus, it is impossible to determine any definite conclusions for more than a day.
We consider ourselves as well.
No, Marutim, Kabu 7.
Kabu 7.
Thank you, Rav. Basulam writes about an eternal soul that can be separated in any way. The soul cannot be separated and it's eternal. What was the state of my soul before the shattering?
Before that, there was no soul. Soul means the upper light that enters a vessel, a suitable vessel, and determines together with this vessel a certain connection called the soul. And a light that is outside of the vessel is the light of oneself, abstract light of oneself. And a vessel without a light is also not even considered a vessel, but a preparation for a vessel. That's what we learn according to the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Можно ли так сказать, что до какого-то времени мы продвигаемся?
Can I say that till a certain time we develop according to one of the methods, and
it's possible that we get confused between these three methods, but it's not development really or advancement. It's simply scrutiny is done on in a certain place.
Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, Baal HaSulam, הוא פותח את המאמר והוא...
Baal HaSulam starts the article and says, from the day I have came to the wisdom of Kabbalah. What does he mean when he's saying the wisdom of Kabbalah? What is it for him?
No, that's just a question.
Me, myself, when we say the wisdom of Kabbalah, what do we mean?
Go to his writings and see what he says about the wisdom of Kabbalah. What is it?
It's certain sources, it is a certain approach to everything written.
The wisdom of Kabbalah is the wisdom that speaks about the actions of the Creator relative to the created beings, what the created beings reveal and pass from generation to generation, and from that they get the wisdom, they attain the acts of the Creator towards them.
So all the books written are the wisdom of Kabbalah?
I don't know, all the books. You're asking things that have no basis. What do you mean, all the books?
So that's what I'm asking. What?
So I don't know. Go to the library and see what is all the books.
I mean of sources of Israel, is that?
I don't know what is the sources of the nation of Israel.
So what's the definition of Kabbalah?
Define, what are you asking? You're not listening to me. I can't answer your question until it's going to be clearly defined.
What is the wisdom of Kabbalah for Baal HaSulam?
I don't know what is it for Baal HaSulam. It's likely that those are those writings, but it's not the wisdom of Kabbalah, those are just the books written by true Kabbalists.
And the name, wisdom of Kabbalah, when did it appear?
We attribute it to Adam HaRishon, the first, to Adam.
Okay, thank you.
You have to be more precise with your language. You'll have great confusion otherwise.
I don't have the depth you're speaking from.
Latin 3.
Okay, Latin 3.
Latin 3.
Gracias, Rav. Podemos decir que el cuerpo es un doble ocultamiento del Creador.
Can we say that the body is a double concealment of the Creator towards the will to bestow?
No. Don't come up with such definitions that are not written anywhere. It's not recommended to do it. It's better to remain floating in the air until we see the precise definition written by Kabbalists. It's a double concealment. Those things could be utterly confusing. Science, like the wisdom of Kabbalah, cannot stand such things, such inaccuracies. It likes precision. PT 19.
I remember we always studied body and soul, so it's an amazing part. We really enjoy these excerpts because there's a lot of materials. And when he writes that his whole life, the certainty of yesterday became the doubts of today, and the certainty of today are the doubts of tomorrow in a way that you can't determine anything for a day. What does he want to say here? That
he wants to tell you that everything you know about this world will be incorrect tomorrow. This is how it's going to be day in, day out, whereas what you discover spiritually above reason, about the spiritual world, meaning about the Creator, there you discover truth, except this truth keeps advancing and is revealed more and more.
It's great, your interpretation. So actually he's saying that the whole world is an illusion, an optical illusion. You just think that you're in a certainty or in a...
Tzvika, don't take up our time. Thank you.
Turkey 4.
Turkey 4.
Good morning, Rav.
Morning.
I'm curious about... impregnation of soul of Sadiqim into person. So, for example,
my
dear friend, you will discover it on yourself. How you receive a soul, how it enters, how it dwells precisely in what vessel does it sit, does it settle? You'll see it on yourself. Oh, and let's continue reading.
Revealed and concealed. Today's science has sufficiently understood that there is no absolute certainty in reality. Yet our sages arrived at this conclusion several thousand years earlier. Hence, concerning religious matters, they guided and forbade us not to refrain from drawing any conclusions based on theory, but even prohibited us from being assisted by such theories, even by negotiations. Our sages divided the wisdom into two matters, revealed and concealed. The revealed part contains everything we know from our direct consciousness, as well as the concepts built upon practical experience without any assistance from scrutiny, as our sages said, a judge has only what his eyes see. The concealed part contains all those concepts we had heard from trusted people or have acquired by ourselves through general understanding and perception of them. However, we cannot sufficiently approach it so as to criticize it with a healthy mind, with straightforward countenance. And this is regarded as concealed, where we are advised to accept matters with simple faith. And all that concerns religion, we have been strictly forbidden to even gaze at matters that could arouse us to scrutinize and study them. Yet these names, revealed and concealed, are not permanent names applying to a certain kind of knowledge, as the masses think. Rather, they apply only to human consciousness. Thus, one refers to all those concepts one has already discovered and has come to know through actual experiences as revealed, and all in regards to all concepts that are yet to be recognized in this matter as concealed. Thus, throughout the generations, all people have these two divisions. The revealed part will be permitted for study and research as it relies on a true basis, and the concealed part is forbidden for even a shred of scrutiny, since one has no real basis there.
Beersheva.
Good morning, Rav, World 10. The article is amazing. Simple question. From all the methods that Baal HaSulam is stating, how do we live this imaginary world? With all these methods together, what's Baal HaSulam's answer? Rav, until you don't start researching, you aren't confused because you have no matter and no base. It's like in every type of science. You know, just like we always say, if you go into the hospital, ask some cleaning lady there what to do, she'll tell you what medicine to take. Everything is very simple. And if you speak to some professor, so they'll tell you that there's doubts and we have to check. And so the deeper we go into reality, we have more doubts. That's why the whole matter is the approach. The approach has to be that what we have for certain in our vessels is a science, and we can engage in it and research and know and understand and teach and learn. But what we cannot learn and understand and grasp and research, so we cannot keep going at it with all kinds of as-ifs and such scrutinies we do in our minds, but not in deeds. And in our mind that has no basis, it always brings us to all kinds of mistakes that humanity till this day is confused with.
May I continue? We are, in actuality, according to one of the methods we read, the true thing is our relationship with the Creator.
True?
And if so, we are somewhere between faith above reason and the vessels of reception that we have. Where does that place us in the correct method for the revelation of the Creator?
The right method is to obey the advice of the Kabbalists, or even the commands of the Kabbalists, in a blind manner, because you cannot do anything before you reach an eye-opening in the Torah, meaning in that light, to that measure that spreads upon you from the Creator. That's why all you need to do is follow them like a baby following an adult. Grab onto him in his hand, grab his hand and walk beside him, and then maybe you'll succeed. If you can study in such a way from him, gradually everything. But there's no other method. And it's a natural method, as we have in this world on the animate degree, so also on the degree of Adam. Only on the animate degree our instincts work. That's why a child wants to be connected to adults, relatives, because he knows that with them he grows, and he can learn something that is for his good, that it's an instinct pushing him towards it. But in spirituality, we have to find what the Kabbalists say. We need a group and a teacher, like the articles say, and if you hold on to them, then you can advance and reach a state that you too will be like them in something. That's it. PT10.
I wanted to ask about the border between revealed and concealed, as Basalam explains here in the last two paragraphs, where the revealed is what he has already attained in his consciousness and he can explore it, and the concealed is not.
Yeah.
So how is it with us? What do we attain within our consciousness and what don't we attain?
In corporeality, we attain everything that enters our vessels. Our senses. Vision, smell, taste, touch, and how we develop more vessels that expand what we can perceive. We can't add more channels except for those five channels. Vision, smell, taste, touching. We don't know what else there is. But the vessels we have, we can expand the frequencies that we perceive. So we build instruments that with them we can hear all kinds of waves, see all kinds of waves, discover all kinds of things. That's it. No more than that. That's in our vessels. From this, we have no entrance into spirituality. But in that world, we understand a bit more. But if we build a new vessel, a higher one, which is opposite of our vessel of the will to receive, that in it we can acquire it by the upper force, by coming closer to the Creator in order to bestow and resembling the Creator in connecting to friends. By this, we are trying to bestow through the friends to the Creator, trying to receive from the friends towards us. And in this way, with the group, through the 10 Sfirot, as we say, we start being connected with the upper force, the upper source. That is actually a different kind of method of absorption. It's not based on our will to receive, that through it we discover all of our earthly reality. But it's a method that is built on the will to bestow, which is opposite. That as much as we come out of ourselves and enter the others in such a tendency towards the others that we try to do it in the group, that's called love your friend as yourself. By that, we reach love the Lord your God. So in this way, we actually acquire, above our force of reception, force of receiving, We build a force of bestowing, the will to bestow, desire to bestow, and then according to our equivalence of form in the will to bestow, in the action of bestow, in the manner of bestowal that we acquire, in that we start feeling according to our equivalence of form, as much as we are bestowing. By this we start feeling the general upper force, the Creator, that is entirely bestowing. And then by this we are starting to reveal Him, come closer to Him, working with Him. In a way that I am towards Him and He is towards me. And in this way, we enter a mutual connection.
No. Kiev.
Kiev.
It means that in revealing and the concealed with us is the revelation of the quality of bestowal. So how do we reveal the quality of bestowal? This is the border between revealed and concealed?
Yes. We discover the quality of bestowal upon the quality of reception. That's called faith above reason. You understand how it all connects and becomes it's not so confused and all smeared out. It becomes more concrete.
Kiev.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот вы сказали, что мы через десятку.
Dear Rav, you said that through the ten we can bestow to the Creator, and through the ten you receive.
In which other vessel can you give? Explain to me. Even in our world, we build some vessels in order to give or receive. We need some special vessel. Something that projects, yeah?
The question is, how through this vessel, let's say I have a tent, my friends, we connect. What does it mean that inside this connection we bestow to the Creator? What does it mean that through the connection we receive from Him?
It's simple, just as you can perceive radio waves. These waves are everywhere. If you have an instrument that can absorb, can grab some wave, so you get it. The Creator is everywhere. By the ten, when you connect to them, and everybody in the ten want to connect and build some instrument, general instrument, so each one, and all together, we will learn how it exactly happens. It's ten spheres that complete one another, and each and every sphere gets something of its own. And in such a way, we reach a state where we grab the Creator, grasp Him in our sensor, which is the group. And each one, the more He bestows to that, in that receiver, right? That's how he receives.
Вот есть как бы какое-то состояние объединения в десятке, и мы каждый из нас.
There is a certain state of connection in the ten. Each one of us adds from himself something to that. What kind of signal are we able to perceive there?
You discover from the Creator the quality of bestowal to the extent that you try to stabilize it between you and the others, you and the friends, that you want to bestow to them, and in this way each one towards the others and everybody together are doing this work in this receiver, that you want to reach a state that through it you're bestowing to the Creator. So each and every one in this receiver is adding his part, and you all together want to transmit it to the Creator. That's what you want to come out of this. So you pray, you ask that the Creator can give you this opportunity, that it'll work out, that you'll succeed, and then man will help his friend. As much as you support one another and work on it together, in all kinds of different matters, have meetings, meals, study. But the main thing is that you think, how can we connect between us in such a way that each one annuls himself towards the others in order to incorporate in them, and how he can absorb from everybody in order to incorporate in them. Then it turns out that eventually you all build an instrument, like a contact between each one and everyone. And then you make such a connection, communication in the group, that you build the Creator. The Creator is called the Inclusive. That if you reach some kind of connection with you, that each one wants to bestow to everyone, so some measure of connection that you reach, that is called come and see. Look what we attained. Look what we have received. What we have discovered, it is the Creator. Come and see. And in this way we discover Him.
From what you're saying, I hear that all of these efforts that we put in towards the connection, building this device, this is the signal that goes to the Creator. What's the signal that comes from Him?
The Creator is inside us. We don't need to go and pull Him from somewhere. He's inside us. Oh, so what we're doing now, succeeding, mistaking, asking, confused, yes, no, it's all Him doing. It's all Him doing. We just need to try and come closer to Him. That's it. We'll talk about it more, but this is how it'll happen. You see, I'm talking, and I see that most of the friends are starting to perceive it in a more tangible way, which is closer to their heart and even to their understanding. Good? Yeah?
When we build this connection, you say that we need to also aim it at the Creator. How to correctly focus that, aim that?
It all depends how each one, through all the friends, will want to be aimed to the Creator. That's called to give contentment to one's Maker.
No, а как каждому товарищу себя правильно вот на него направить? На что это? Либо это...
How can each friend direct himself, aim himself correctly? I want to be more precise here.
We read many things about that. Through the connection between us to the connection with the Creator. There's nothing else to say. To the extent that you want for the benefit of the friends, you can give this attitude back to the Creator. That's it. Well, we have 20 minutes left. Maybe we should still keep going with this article. Yes, Owen.
We're in permitted and forbidden in using human science. Permitted and forbidden in using human science. Hence, we who follow in the footsteps of our sages are not permitted to use the human science except with knowledge that has been proven by actual experiences and of those and of whose validity we have no doubt. Therefore, we cannot accept any religious principle from the above three methods All the more so concerning concepts of body and soul, which are the fundamental concepts and the subject of religion as a whole. We can only accept concepts of life sciences taken from experiments that no one can doubt.
Meaning, from life, we can only take facts, right? That they enter our five senses, and we are sure that it's that way. Next.
Clearly, such a proof cannot be found in any spiritual matter, but only in physical matters, set up for perception by the senses. Hence, we are permitted to use the third method to an extent. It engages only in matters of the body, and in all those deductions that have been proven by experiments and which no one doubts. And the rest of the concepts which combine the reason of their method and other methods are forbidden to us. And one who uses them breaches, do not turn to the idols. Yet this third method is foreign and loathsome to the human spirit. And there is hardly any truly educated person who is able to accept it. This is so because, according to them, man's human form has been erased and vanished. Man has been made into a machine that walks and works by other forces. In their opinion, man has no free choice whatsoever, but is rather pushed by nature's forces, and all his actions are compulsory. Hence, man has no reward or punishment, since no judgment, punishment, or reward apply to one who has no freedom of will.
That's why we're working here as animals, as beasts. Next.
Such a thing is utterly unthinkable, and not only for the religious who believe in reward and punishment, since believing in his providence, that all of nature's forces are guided by him, assures them that everything has a good and desirable cause. Yet this method is even stranger in the eyes of the non-religious who believe that everyone is given to the hands of the blind, mindless, and aimless nature. And these intelligent ones are like toys in its hand, led astray, and who knows where. Hence, this method has become despised and unaccepted in the world.
Yeah, because then every person is just a biological machine that is activated by forces of nature, and then in man there is no freedom of choice, and no cause and no effect, and then everyone is just a biological machine. That's it. Just as we see on all animals, still vegetative and animate. So we're part of the animate, we're also activated by nature, and even though we've developed all kinds of wisdoms, they too are on the same level of nature. That's why by that we will not ascend above the animate. Yes.
Indeed, know that the method of those who conceive duality came only to correct this above-mentioned distortion. For this reason, they have decided that the body, which is but a machine according to the third method, is not at all the real human, and man's real essence is something altogether different, invisible and imperceptible to the senses. It is a spiritual entity clothed and hidden within the body. This is man's self, the I. And the body and everything within it are considered possessions of the eternal and spiritual I, as they have written. Yet, by their own admission, this whole method is lame, since they cannot explain how a spiritual entity, being the soul or the self, can move the body or decide anything concerning it. This is because, following the philosophical precision itself, the spiritual has no contact whatsoever with the physical. It has absolutely no impact on it, as they themselves have written.
Questions? I guess also at home you should read these parts. This article also, it's not really organized and prepared for a print. It wasn't really elaborated on by Baal HaSulam, the writer. That's why it's difficult to study it. But if we read it, let's say in a while, for now we'll advance by other articles. So we'll see as much as here too. We have more material between the words.
PT3. I want to ask about the method by which Baal HaSulam chooses to explain. We read two articles, Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy, and also Body and Soul. He spends a lot of time on denying methods that are common in the world. Should we also use this kind of method to deny existing methods to explain our own method?
No. We don't want to mix with everything there is. Not to do it as criticism on something. For what? First of all, by this, you'll be like a lot of other people who want to build themselves on flawing others. We don't want that. We want to explain what the wisdom of Kabbalah is, and whoever understands, so from that, they'll understand what's so unique about it compared to all other methods, if he even knows them. And if not, so for what also? So he won't know other methods, and he doesn't have any tendency for it. He won't go to start comparing one method to another. And he'll just remain in what he is. Each one. The main thing is that we reach a spiritual vessel. And from this it'll be clear how it's exalted beyond all other methods that people can invent in this world.
Clear. Another question about the article. Where does the secular method fit in? That on the one hand the person has no soul, and after his death nothing remains, but on the other hand he has freedom of choice, or at least that's what most of them think. Where does that fit between these three methods?
There
are a lot of methods.
And
also beliefs, psychology, physiology, religion. There's a lot of things. And there's people who like to sort them out and organize them and give each and every method some value. We don't do it because we have no contact with them. We just want to reach faith above reason, to go out beyond all methods, all approaches, to a level that there it's only the wisdom of Kabbalah, and it explains to a person about the true reality. Owen, we didn't finish it.
The accusation against Maimonides. Yet even without this question, their method would have been forbidden among Israel, as we have explained above. And it is important that you know that the whole accusation against Maimonides by Israel's sages and the harsh judgment to burn his books were not because they had any doubt of the righteousness and piousness of Maimonides himself. Rather, it was only because he used philosophy and metaphysics, which were at their peak at the time. And Maimonides wished to save them from it. Yet the sages did not agree with them.
They thought that specifically by the Rambam, Maimonides, he was great, and he dealt in metaphysics and philosophy, so many people, instead of coming to the wisdom of Kabbalah and revealing the Creator, they followed the metaphysics and philosophy in such a way that I won't elaborate more. Later on, when we advance in spirituality, it'll be clear what we're talking about.
Needless to say, today,
our time,
our generation has already recognized that metaphysical philosophy contains no real content upon which it is worthwhile to spend one's time. Hence, it is certainly forbidden for anyone to take any spices from their words.
That's why it's very severe what was in history. For many years, that there was they burned all the Ramban books. There was some judgment there. Until this period has gone by, so it was prohibited to engage in them, in his books. Today, we're beyond all this. As he says, in our generation, we have developed to see that in metaphysics and philosophy, there's no real content. That's why it's clear that we should engage in what happened back then with the Rambam that was so dangerous. That's why we can study his words, because he really was a huge, great, true Kabbalist. These things, throughout 5,000-6,000 years that the wisdom of Kabbalah exists, these things are part of all great history, that Kabbalists have gone through, and with all their revelations, with all their search, we will still learn about it. It's very interesting how the human mind, the revelation of the Creator, the approach to reveal the Creator, how it all changes from one generation to the next until it comes to our generation. And from that, we'll still learn what's so unique about our generation. Latin 1.
Gracias, Rap. ¿A qué se refiere con los sabios de los que menciona aquí Bala Sulam?
In the text,
así como
it says about the sages that Bala Sulam mentions
para poder cometer su propósito.
In the same way that spoke against Maimonides, there are people who also spoke against Baal Sulam, also the authorities.
Mi pregunta sería esa, ¿a qué sabio se refiere en estos textos?
They also objected to his writings. The question is, which sages does he write about here that objected to the Maimonides?
No, there were great sages back then that understood the Rambam, and they attained the Creator, like Rambam did. He was great, a great Kabbalist, but because he used all kinds of terms from metaphysics
philosophia
and philosophy, that's why they were afraid that people will start going into metaphysics and philosophy on their own, and not the way Rabash was presenting it, Rambam was presenting it. So in order to build a barrier, not to let people go into all those methods, they put out like a judgment that he's wrong and that his book should be burned and that you're not allowed to study him. And only after a certain time, when we already have let go of that generation and this philosophy and metaphysics is completely gone bankrupt already, and it's clear to everyone that it's not worth investing even a bit of time and energy in it, that's why we are allowed to read the books of the Rambam and study from them, because they can't deviate us into some kind of metaphysic forms instead of the method of Kabbalah. We'll talk about it. It's not simple. These things aren't so simple and easy. As I said, it's thousands of years of development of the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is the first, greatest, and most ancient method in humanity that comes to us 6,000 years ago from Adam Rishon. And we'll talk about it more. What do we need to do? Who wasn't here yet? PT12.
Rav, im kol ha-matzav hazeh ba-olam,
the current state of the world, war's about to break out, and the pandemic and the climate, people should have asked what's going on here. It seems like they become more corporeal, less spiritual.
Because they have bigger problems. They want to watch out from heat and cold and all kinds of outbursts of nature, and from corona or all kinds of other things, from wars, you're saying. There's problems. They want, first of all, person wants to take care of himself. For him, it's in this world, the most important thing is his life, his body. That's what everybody's concerned about. So what do you need to even speak about here?
When should this connection take place, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, between the body and soul?
First of all, it has to happen here with us. And if we will be as a source of that force, that where the spiritual and corporeal connect together, then we will be able to also be a center of connection of all of humanity. And they'll start feeling that only we have the truth, and they will come and study from you. And you will be the teachers of all of humanity. Okay? Okay. PT9.
According to the wisdom of Kabbalah, What is the main role of the body and the main role of the soul?
Both have to work together in body and soul, that by the mutual work between them, we need to reach adhesion with the Creator. TT
29.
From this article, can we take any principles that we can convey in dissemination?
No. It's a short article. We don't know it. We haven't felt it. It didn't really get into our awareness. We cannot use it in order to disseminate something from it. No. And also in all the parts where he says body, soul, it's such short paragraphs that are not final that we ourselves are not sure what to do with it. That's for that reason, please be rational. We cannot use these articles. We're reading them in order to a bit expand our knowledge, but not more than that. Not more than that. And what happens here is that we need to end the lesson. So what do we have today? Owen will tell us.
First of all, we have an announcement from the meals team. Dear friends, the next meals topic is adhesion of the friends. If you're interested in participating as speakers or as hosts, please write to boardworldkli@gmail.com. Additionally, if you have any ideas on how to improve the meals or increase the spirit of connection in the meal, please write to this mail as well. That's the first announcement. The second announcement is the schedule for today, 10 a.m. The program, An Inside Look with Dr. Michael Lightman, will be broadcast today. Rav, what kind of thought should we take for the day?
I think that we still need to renew all these excerpts we're reading. The collection of excerpts in Faith Above Reason, we should take out of there an essence, a maximum clear essence that just pierces our heart, and to speak about it in the group. And also what we were talking about today, that that we need to be connected in the group in such a way that we will feel that we're building a receiver to reveal the Creator, and also a transmitter from us to the Creator. And that is all in the tent. So let's us speak about that, be around this. And I talked about it for a few minutes, so let's take more ideas. I'm willing to elaborate on it. And for now, big hug to everybody, big warm hug, and everybody be healthy and successful and happy and close to the Creator. Good luck.
See you. The shadow often shakens, but then the heart awakens. It yearns and grows and longs to be concealed beneath your wings. In the cool du jardin d'Eden, cœur de pierre, comme de l'eau douce, goutte à goutte, illumine les barrières. Ve'en makom panu imimcha, kulanu nitzavim mulcha. Nafir et hashalhevet, be'ir'a u'besimcha. ואין מקום פנו ממך כולנו ניצבים מולך דירת השלהבת בעירה ובשמחה стрела пронзает сердце тьма уступает место и света луч благим теплом растапливает лед אחד אני יודע גם לרחוק שומע שפתיים מעלות תפילה אזעקה אהבה ואין מקום פנו ממך כולנו ניצבים מולך נבהיר את השלבת ביראה ובשמחה ואין מקום פנו ממך כולנו ניצבים מולך נבהיר את השלבת ביראה ובשמחה ניצבים מולך נבהיר את השלהבת ביראה ובשמחה ואין מקום פנו ממך כולנו ניצבים מולך נבהיר את השלהבת ביראה